Pastor John Randall on how to live victoriously in our daily walk.
When you leave these doors today, you don't go out to the playground. You go out to the battlefield. You go out to the war zone, man. This is what we're engaged in. And so there's the need to fight with all the weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. On the right hand, on the left hand, the armor of light, every piece of armament clothed on us. We fight the fight. We resist the flesh, and we can be victorious. Listen, if you don't resist the flesh and you give into it, it'll overpower you.
How often have we seen it? Someone prays a prayer and walks an aisle, then walks out of church and goes on to live like they always have. But as we open Romans chapter 6, we come to realize the believer in Christ is dead to sin and no longer to be controlled by it. We'll not only hear why that's the case, but how the change occurs today on a daily walk. We've been making our way through the book of Romans, and in chapter 6, we discover holiness is expected to occur in the life of the Christian. Now, with how that can happen in your life, here's Pastor John, starting with verse 3.
Do you not know that as many of us as were, make a note of the word, baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. The word baptism here in the Greek language was used in different contexts within the ancient culture. This word was used to describe the action of a metal worker dipping hot iron into water in order to temper the iron. It was also used of someone who would dye clothing by dipping the cloth in the dye for the purpose of changing its color. Here's the definition. It refers to the introduction or placing of a person or a thing into a new environment or into union with something else to alter its condition or its relationship to its previous environment or condition. Do you understand? That is what happens spiritually when a person comes to Christ. They die to the old life and they are, in a sense, taken from one environment and condition and placed in another environment and condition. It is coming from this environment of death and being connected, identified with Christ in a completely new condition. That, friends, is what happens to a person internally and spiritually when they come to Christ. They're translated out of, baptized, identified with Christ in a spiritual sense. But then there is also the outward demonstration of what we just described that takes place on the inside in water baptism. Water baptism, the purpose of it is not for salvation. The purpose of baptism is for identification. It is the outward symbol or demonstration to the world of what has happened internally. If I were to receive Christ, and I have, but if I receive Christ and I died that day without the opportunity to be baptized into water, I would go to heaven. Because baptism doesn't save me. I'm justified by faith. It's through the grace of God. Listen, baptism is a blessing, but it doesn't save me. The reason why I get baptized is to show the world what has happened inside. And so what happens is when you go down to the water, like we are today, as you go under the water, it's you're being placed into a new environment. It's your old person is being buried in the water, buried with Christ. And then they're coming up out of the water, being raised in the newness of life. That's what happens to you. I want to say this to you also. I come across people from time to time. I don't know where this idea came from, but I'm going to clarify it right here. I don't need to be baptized. I'm saved. I'm not just going, that water's dirty. I'm not getting baptized. And people like fight the idea of being baptized as if it was a bad thing. Let me just tell you something. It's biblical. Jesus told his disciples, go out and preach the gospel and also baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized. If you're a Christian, you should be baptized. If you're not, why not? This is a blessing from the Lord. This is a monumental day in your walk with Christ. When you go into the water, you're saying, the world's behind me. The Lord is in front of me. From this day forward, I want everybody to know I'm identifying with Christ. I am buried with him. I am raised with him. And I'm walking in the newness of life. You should be baptized, friend. Paul uses this example. Coming to Jesus was never meant to be a one-time emotional decision where I walked forward, prayed a prayer, and then walked out and lived like I always lived. No, he told me to deny myself, to take up my cross and follow him. And follow him means walk the same road with him. That's what he's called us to. I came across an interesting story. I remember this was years ago, but maybe some of you recall and maybe even fought there in Desert Storm. It was out there in the Gulf that there were men who were being saved. And as they were coming to faith in Christ, they wanted to be baptized. And the chaplain did not have a formal baptismal for them to be baptized in. What they had was a coffin. And they filled the coffin with water. And they placed the men in the coffin and brought them back. How appropriate is that? Death to the old life, raised literally in newness of life. Friends, that is what's happened to us. And that's why we don't live a lifestyle of sin anymore, because we died to it and we've identified with Christ. We've taken his name as our own. And then as a result, we are to walk in newness of life. The word newness here refers to a quality of life in which we live. As Jesus said, I came to give you life and that more abundant. The old life was characterized by sin. The new life is characterized by righteousness. Given a new heart, given a new mind, a relationship brings new life, a new way of living. And Paul says here, we should walk in newness of life. Some don't, but we should. If truly we've died to sin and identified with Christ, there is a newness of life. And I don't know what your testimony is, but I'm sure it's similar to mine, that when you came to Christ, there is a new way of life. An abundant life, an eternal life found in Christ. Dead to sin, identified with Jesus, but also, listen, we don't live a lifestyle of sin because we've been united with Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Not only are we identified with Christ when we come to him, but we're also united with him. The word united means grown together. It pictures a branch bound to, grafted to the vine. Do you remember Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Guys, listen, as a branch is grafted to the vine, the branch receives its life from the vine. If you take a branch and you cut it off from the vine and you set it aside, isolated by itself, it withers and it dies and it doesn't produce anything. There's no life in it because it's not connected to the vine. When we come to Christ, we are now connected to him, united, grown in him, now to be abiding in him that we might bear spiritual fruit for his glory. And then Paul says in verse 6, now in light of this, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Knowing this, and we need to know this, we need to understand this, dead to sin, identified with Christ, united with him, our old self was crucified with him, we walk in newness of life, and that means, this is glorious, we are no longer slaves of sin. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. If you're in Christ, you're no longer in bondage to sin. The power of the sinful nature has been broken. And if, verse 8, we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over us. Folks, think about this. Now that we've come to Christ, dead to sin, identified, united with, walking in newness of life, no longer slaves of sin, and we conquer death. He conquered death through his resurrection. Death can't hold us down. It didn't hold him down, and because we're in Christ, to live is Christ, to die is gain. There is no fear for the believer in dying because we know right where we're going, into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is a comfort that this world cannot provide. That's only found in Christ. And this is what we have. Therefore, if we know that we have this, that we're going to be raised with Christ, how in the world can we go back to dead things? There's no place for it. I think of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2. He put it this way. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul wasn't physically there crucified with Christ, but when he came to Christ, it's as if he was crucified with Christ because his sins were on that tree, born by the Son of God. So he's saying, I identify with him. I've been crucified. And this life that I'm now living, I'm living to glorify the Lord. I'm living to please the Lord. There is a difference in me. And so the Bible tells us very clearly, Christ died. He's been raised from the dead. We die. We also will be raised from the dead. Now, Paul gives us a very practical application, and I'm so glad that he does in these last few verses we'll consider. You remember the question at the very beginning that he asked, the rhetorical question? It was this, should we continue in sin so that grace can abound? And the answer was obviously no. And what he does is he explains why. We just went over it. Because you're dead. Because you've identified, you're united. There's a newness of life. You're no longer a slave. You're going to be raised with Christ from the dead. That's the why. Ah, but now he answers the how. How do I do that? I mean, I know spiritually and biblically, theologically, this is what I have, but how do I live that out practically in my life? I'm glad you asked that. Here it is right here. Look at verse 11. Likewise, you also, make note of this word, reckon. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This word, reckon, is an important one. Not just used in the South, I reckon. There's something more to this. The word reckon is actually an accounting term. And what it means is to add up all of the figures and you come to realize what you have. For example, I came to Christ. Here's the figure. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. I'm identified with Jesus. I'm united with Jesus. I'm going to be raised with Jesus. I'm walking in the newness of life with Jesus. I have the power of the Spirit giving me the ability to overcome the flesh. I reckon all of those things. I calculate them out and I come to this conclusion. I'm dead to that life. I'm dead to the old life. How does a person overcome the old life? You reckon in your mind by accounting everything we just considered that you're dead to it. There is a reckoning within the mind that enables us to realize, I'm not alive to that anymore. I used to be very much alive to that, but now I am dead to it and I am alive in Christ. You have to reckon it to be so. Have you done that? Or are you reckoning that maybe you're not dead to it? You have to reckon it to be so. But not only is there a reckoning, a calculating these things, which brings you to an obvious conclusion, which brings a declaration, I'm dead to that life. But here's another thing to consider. Not just reckoning, but also resisting. Resisting sin. Reckoning I'm dead to sin, but resisting sin. Look at what it says in verse 12. Very practical. Therefore, or in light of everything I've told you in the first 11 verses, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. Paul says, because you're dead to it, Because you've identified with Christ, because you're united with him, don't let sin reign anymore. Listen, sin reigned in our lives. It's like a monarch on the throne of our heart telling us what to do, telling us to go here, get involved with that, wreck yourself there. I mean, that sin was ruling and reigning in our hearts. But then sin, when you come to Christ, is dethroned. Christ takes the rightful place as the king of your life. He now guides. He directs. He's the one leading. You're free to go and serve me and glorify me. You're not in bondage anymore. He is reigning. But listen, flesh doesn't give up. The flesh will fight to regain power and authority. But here's the thing. I'm filled with the Spirit. And if I'm filled with the Spirit, I can overcome the flesh, but I have to resist it. That's what it says. Don't let it. It means stop allowing sin to reign in your mortal body. We have a choice in the matter. We don't let it reign. The power of sin is dethroned. I reckon it to be so, and I resist it on a daily basis. Guys, listen. You have to fight it. You have to fight it. And here's something to understand. We can't overcome the flesh with the flesh. We overcome the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's through the power of the Spirit that I'm able to put to death the deeds of the flesh that used to dominate my life. David knew the danger of sin. In fact, he prayed. You remember in Psalm 19, he said, "Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression." The Bible says, resist the devil steadfastly. Flee, run to the Lord, run away from sin. Don't run to it anymore. That's what it means. Run from it. Fight against it. When you leave these doors today, you don't go out to the playground. You go out to the battlefield. You go out to the war zone, man. This is what we're engaged in. And so there's the need to fight with all the weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. On the right hand, on the left hand, the armor of light, every piece of armament clothed on us. We fight the fight. We resist the flesh and we can be victorious. Listen, if you don't resist the flesh and you give into it, it'll overpower you. The Bible says that those who walk in the Spirit should not fulfill the lust of their flesh, Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. However, if you walk in the flesh, you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it's through the power of the Spirit that we're able to overcome that. We resist it. We fight against it. We turn from it. We don't make any provision for it. See, that's another thing that's important. Paul would say in Romans, in 13, he would say, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Don't make any provision for it. If you don't make provision for the flesh, guess what happens? It's not provided for. That's pretty deep, but I'm just saying, if you don't make provision for it, there's no provision for it. But if you make provision for it, it'll be used against you. Well, I just keep that in the cabinet in case, you know, special occasions, I don't know. Maybe I'm having a bad day. I need to. No, get rid of it. You don't know what year this is. I don't care what year it is. Throw it out. Do you know what I paid? Who cares? Flush that down the toilet. Sometimes I get back pain. Yeah, get rid of it. Cancel your subscription. Gain accountability. Do whatever it takes to put to death the deeds of the flesh before the deeds of the flesh put you to death. How? Reckon it to be so. It is. Resist it steadfastly. Third, here's what he tells us in verse 13. Very practical. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. This is so important. The word present means to yield. It's an attitude or an action that has to do with our will. Literally, it means to place or set beside or near, to place at someone's disposal. The word actually pictures giving something over to another, relinquishing your grip, putting yourself at the disposal of someone else. And what Paul is saying is stop putting yourself at the disposal of Satan so that he can use your life, and instead present yourself and put yourself at the disposal of the Savior so that he can use your life for his glory. It's presenting on a daily basis everything that we are to the Lord. Lord, my eyes, my mind, my heart, my hands, my feet. I present myself to you. Lord, I want you to use all that there is of me for your glory. I don't want to present myself to the flesh. I presented myself long enough to the flesh, and it brought pain and shame and guilt. Instead, I want to present myself to the Lord and say, God, everything that I am is yours. Use me for your glory and for your purposes. Again, quoting from this time, Romans chapter 12, Paul puts it this way, and it ties in so wonderfully. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, here's the word, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is presenting myself to the Lord and not allowing the world to squeeze me into its mold. That is what it means to be conformed. I'm not going to allow it to happen. So there is this battle that goes on, but the battle is won when I present myself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. I reckon I'm dead to the old life. I'm resisting the old life, and I'm presenting myself with absolute abandonment to God and his purposes for his glory. That's how we ought to live. That's an understanding of God's grace. Guys, listen, God didn't give us his grace so that we could go out and sin. He gave us his grace so that we wouldn't have to go out and sin any longer. That is a clear understanding of his grace. His grace saves us. His grace sustains us. His grace strengthens us. Shall we continue in sin? No way. I'm dead to that. I've identified with Christ. I'm united with Christ. I'm going to be raised with Christ. I'm walking in the newness of the life of Christ. I reckon it to be so. I resist it. I present myself to the Lord for his glory and feed the spiritual side of my life so that when the flesh comes knocking, I can knock it out. Are you struggling today with some besetting sin? Are you yielding your members to it? Have you reckoned the old person to be dead to the old life? Are you still making provision for the flesh? If you are, today would be a great day to repent and get right with the Lord. It's not too late. In fact, today would be a perfect time to settle the issue, to return to the Lord and say, Lord, enough is enough. I don't want to just play Christian. I don't want to just be something on the outside. But I want it to be real on the inside. And I encourage you, just that prayer of repentance, you'll find that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. He loves you and his grace is extended to you. Where sin has abounded, grace has abounded much more. But understand what this grace provides and respond to it.
Thanks for joining us today for A Daily Walk. To catch a replay of today's message from Pastor John Randall, simply go online to adailywalk.org. If you'd rather have a CD copy of the study from our series in Romans, we can send that to you for a cost of $5. We have a new toll-free number. It's 877-242-0828. You can use that to order resources or if you have any questions. That's 877-242-0828. You can also listen to studies from John on our podcast through iTunes or download our free mobile app. Do a search for CCSJC in your favorite app store. We light up around here when a listener shares what God is doing in their life and how they're helped through the teaching of God's Word. If you feel led to write, here's our email address, adailywalk@gmail.com. As we've just begun a new year, maybe you're looking for a good devotional to go through. May I suggest Pastor John's new Devo called A Daily Walk? He's written one devotional for every day of the calendar year. You're sure to be encouraged and challenged from the biblical insights Pastor John shares from Genesis through Revelation. It's available right now for the cost of $15. Maybe get an extra one or two to share with a friend or someone at the office. Just call us at 877-242-0828 and ask for A Daily Walk. That's 877-242-0828. Or order online at adailywalk.org. You can also write to us at A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. And please remember, it's your faithful contribution to the Lord's work at A Daily Walk that allows us to bring Pastor John's studies to the radio every day. A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall is presented by Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano. There is much more to come in Romans, so be sure to join us next time.